Let's open in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time to be together this evening in this way, and we ask that you would bless us as we think again about the book of Proverbs and learn some lessons from it tonight. We pray that you would direct our thoughts and guide us in this study, we pray. We thank you for the richness of your word and for its power in our lives, and so we pray for your help as we think about it again this evening, asking for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll see if we can get a screen share on here. And I'm going to just prefix my remarks tonight by mentioning that I'm just back from my dentist. Didn't time things particularly well. I have a half-frozen mouth. I'm going to try to articulate clearly tonight, but we'll see how things go. It's getting a little better as the minutes go by, so let's just see how this goes. So the subject that's assigned tonight is the security of wisdom. When I first heard that, I thought it would be an interesting topic. The first verses that are assigned are from chapter 2. And this verse comes out, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. And indeed, we find that God provides wisdom, and if we will allow that wisdom to enter our lives and be a part of our lives, there is great protection in the wisdom that God can give to us. And so I'm happy to think about this a little bit this evening. Security of wisdom. There are a few verses I just want to think back on, reflect on, came to us over the studies so far. And Tim introduced the study to us way back a few weeks ago now, and took us in particular to this expression, Psalm 9, or Proverbs 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I think as we think about the security of wisdom, it's good for us to keep that particular thought in mind. We were also reminded that Solomon writes here as a father to his children. In fact, often through the Proverbs, we read him saying, my son, 23 times, in fact, he says, my son, as he gives instructions to his children. It's almost as if we are part of his family and listening to his wise counsel as a parent, giving us instruction on how we should live. And so he says, hear, my children, the instructions of a father. We, as God's children, are wise if we listen to his instruction. And as we listen to his instruction, we gain wisdom. And as we heed his instruction and allow the wisdom that he provides to fulfill itself in our lives, we find that we have security, safety in those expressions. There was a couple other verses. I didn't write them down on the slide, but we might consider as well. In chapter 4, in verse 7, Tim also reminded us that this verse is perhaps a key verse in the book of Proverbs, and it's part of the section that's assigned tonight for us to look at. But in chapter 4 and verse 7, we have this beautiful verse, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. In all you're getting, get understanding. And so we can appreciate that Solomon points out that wisdom is key to all. You know, as we've been reminded already, God gave Solomon a wonderful opportunity, saying, ask what you will, and I'll give it to you. We might think that security can be had in financial wealth. In fact, the world teaches us that we want security. In fact, they're even called securities. You know, and the world would have us think that that's where wisdom is to be had, or perhaps in political power or in some other form of power, military power, there's security, so the world would think. Solomon had the choice of all these things, but Solomon chose well in asking the Lord for wisdom. And that's what the Lord gave him, and so Solomon gives us this instruction, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. One other verse that I just want to draw your attention to from Proverbs 29. When we think about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, then we might also think about this verse from chapter 29 and verse 25, which reads, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." The word that's translated there, safe, in my translation can also be translated as secure. He who trusts in the Lord shall be safe, shall be secure. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, not the fear of man, which can bring us a snare and insecurity, but the fear of the Lord and the wisdom that the Lord brings. There's where we find security. The security of wisdom. And the three passages that are assigned are on your screen there. Proverbs 2, 3 verses there. Proverbs 3, 5 verses from there. And 9 verses from Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to look at those. We'll start in chapter 4 actually. But before we get there, let's think about what is security. A simple definition that I found from the little dictionary was the quality or state of being secure, such as freedom from danger, safety, or freedom from fear and anxiety. And indeed, we can find these in godly wisdom. As we look to God to give us wisdom, we can find freedom from danger, we can find safety, we can find freedom from fear and anxiety. And we'll look more specifically at what some of these things mean to us from the Christian's perspective as we think about the security of wisdom. When wisdom enters your heart, then our key text, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you. Security can be thought of as being preservation, particularly from our perspective, from the Christian's perspective, preservation in faith, preservation in our relationship with the Lord. And the Lord has promised to keep us. And wisdom is a tool that he gives us that helps us to remain in the safety of his fold. The security of wisdom. As we think about this, I like the little idea that Michael Krushelnicki had the other day when he gave a message and he tagged that little key phrase in the top corner of the screen. I thought that was good, so I'm going to copy him and do the same thing here. As we think about the security of wisdom, we remember this fundamental principle that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so we'll see that on the corner of our screen as we go through. Four examples then of the protecting power of godly wisdom. First of all, let's think about this. Secure from disgrace. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4. It's the third of the sections that we've been asked to look at. We're going to start at the back and work them to the front. Chapter 4, and we'll just read these first 9 verses. In particular, I want to pay attention to verses 8 and 9. "Hear, my children, the instruction of the Father, and give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words, give my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you.'" And so in these first 6 verses, it's Solomon again speaking as if to his children. And we almost get the sense that perhaps some of these things are things that he learned. He refers to his father who taught him when he was young. Perhaps he's referring to David. Perhaps some of these things came down secondhand through Solomon from David directly, indirectly through Solomon. I don't know. But in any case, he gives us instruction to pay attention to his words. And these are the words that are written for us in the Word of God. So we are wise to heed them, for they will give us, as he says here, they will preserve us and they will keep us. Verse 6. Wisdom is the principal thing, as we read, therefore get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. And then notice these verses, exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on you, on your head, an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. So there is this in the security of wisdom. Secure from disgrace, I'm going to say. Now, when I say this, I'm not thinking in particular about being disgraced in the eyes of the world. I don't think that should be a major concern to a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I will speak a bit about it. I'm thinking more primarily, though, about the disgrace that we might have before God if we don't obey his word, if we don't listen to the wisdom that he gives to us, if we don't follow wise counsel and godly wisdom. I believe there will be shame. But we can experience freedom from shame, even, I'm going to suggest, in the eyes of the world. You know, there's a lot of people in the world, as you all know, who don't have much respect for the word of God, for the Lord Jesus Christ, or for the Christian faith in general. And there are those who will disrespect it on many terms. But, you know, I have found generally in my experience, and I'm sure that there are many of you who will say the same, that despite the fact that in the world around me, I encounter lots of people who have very little respect for the word of God or for the Christian faith, they nonetheless, when I deal with them and get to know them and they get to know me and understand where I stand with regard to my Christian beliefs and faith, they respect it. And they will give me some honor. They will give me place. Even to the point where I find sometimes when I'm dealing with people, whether at work or wherever, and they know how I feel about things, that they'll often catch themselves and apologize to me for something that they have said or the way that they have said it. They do that because they have some sort of respect for what I've done or the position that I take or a moral or ethical stand that might be different than one that they might hold. And so I believe that as we exercise godly wisdom, there is even a sense that from a worldly perspective, there can be sometimes relief from shame. And in fact, there is this reference to an ornament of grace. But I believe this might be more primarily related to our relationship to the Lord and to our faith and to how we stand before him. You know, I have often heard people teaching about the throne of grace. I don't want to be controversial here tonight. But I've often heard people teaching that the throne of grace is just all about rewards, and it's going to be all about being rewarded for those things that we did that will honor God, that honor God in our lives. I'm not entirely convinced that there won't be moments of, I don't know if shame would be the right word, disappointment perhaps, about the things that are happening in our lives that will be burned up like wood and hay and stubble on that day. But if we act in the wisdom that God provides, then there can be freedom from shame and from guilt in this life here on earth and perhaps in days to come when we stand before God. God can provide the security from disgrace, that as we act wisely, as we embrace God's wisdom, we will find that in many ways, God provides this ornament of grace, this crown of glory that is delivered to us. This is one of the protections, one of the securities of wisdom. I can think of examples in scripture of how this has played out. And let's take one here, for example. I think of someone like Jeremiah, who experienced a lot of disgrace and shame in his life, and yet he honored God and ultimately is honored by God. But more specifically, think about Acts 16, where Paul and Silas find themselves in jail in Philippi. And they have been beaten for their faith in the Lord and for their testimony for him. They had been beaten to the point of wounds, of stripes on their back, and they had been put in the prison and put in chains in the prison. In fact, it says that he fastened their feet in the stocks. Often that is done to people to bring them to shame, not just to confine them, but actually to shame them. They're put in the stocks. So we find Paul and Silas, but did they feel the shame in this? What do we find them doing in the verses that describe this scene in Acts chapter 16? We find them singing and praising God. We find them giving glory and testimony to God. We find them praying to the Lord and doing so in a way that the prisoners around could hear. And the prisoners around did hear. Obviously, from the context as we read the passage, they were listening to what was going on in the mouths and from the words of Paul and Silas, and they responded to it. And when God came down and acted in a miraculous way, an earthquake that took place, there was no shame. There was no disgrace on the face of Paul and Silas, despite what the world sought to do to them. God honored them for their stand. They chose to fear the Lord. They feared the Lord, not the political leaders of Philippi, or the people who rose up in rebellion against them, or the prison circumstance that they found themselves in. That's not what they feared. They feared the Lord. They obeyed the Lord. They did what the Lord was calling them to do. They stood up strongly in testimony for the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and as they act wisely, following the instruction of the Lord honored them in it. We find that they did not receive disgrace, but rather they received grace from the hand of the Lord and from even the Philippian jailer himself. When he comes trembling before them and fell down before them and bandaged their wounds and cared for their sores, gave them food, the other prisoners also giving them honor, and even those leaders who had put them in prison by the end of the chapter come before them and give them respect and honor because they have honored the Lord. And so we have security from disgrace. Let's move quickly on to the next one, secure from perverse influences. Let's go back to chapter 2. This is the second little passage that's assigned to us. I'm just going to read the first 5 or 6 verses here, starting in verse 10. And then we'll take the second part of it at the end of chapter 2 in a minute. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is flown to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who lead the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. I can tell you that it is easy for us, anyone today, to start to fall under the influence of people that they would be wiser not to associate with. How easy it is for us sometimes to slip in our association and the way that we embrace things. Sometimes it happens quickly. We're confronted with a situation and we team up with somebody without thinking much about it. And we look back sometimes afterwards and think, you know, that wasn't a wise move. Perhaps these aren't the people that really are going to lead me in the right direction here. Maybe this was not a good choice. And sometimes the damage is done and it's too late. But godly wisdom can keep us on the paths of righteousness, can keep us from the paths of darkness, and can help us as we're assessing situations to know what way is right and what people are right and who we should embrace in our circle and who we would be wise to be leery of and stay away from. I want to think about an example here as well. Let's think about the contrast between Abram and Lot. We remember the story, Genesis 13. The space became a little too constricted for both all of Lot's herds and staff and all of Abram's family and staff and herds. They decided that they should put some distance between them. So they looked up and Lot looked toward the east. And there he saw the well-watered plains and said, "That's where I'm going." That's where I'm going, Uncle Abram. You go to the west, I'm going to the east. And I would suggest that as we look at the story unfold and as we think about all that happened in the days that followed, we could recognize that perhaps Lot was not using godly wisdom as he made his choice. And he was consequently subjected to a lot of perverse influences. And they had significant impact on the life of himself and of his family. Abram, on the other hand, what do we read about him? Well, in Genesis 13, we read that as Lot chose to go to the east, Abraham has a conversation with God. Abraham has an exchange with the Lord, his Lord, and seeks his direction and guidance from the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Abraham exercised wisdom by showing his reverence for the Lord. By the end of the chapter, we see him after having an exchange with the Lord, a conversation with the Lord, bowing down before the Lord and building an altar and worshiping the Lord there in Hebron. What a contrast between the choices of Lot and the choice of Abram. There is security from perverse influences in life. This passage tells us in Proverbs chapter 2, by heeding the wisdom that God would seek to give us. Godly wisdom can keep us from in the paths of righteousness. You know, it's interesting as Abraham has his conversation with God. Lot had picked up his eyes, seen what was to the east, and headed that way as fast as he could. Abram has a conversation with God, and God says this to him: look to the north, look to the south, look to the west. All that you see, I'm going to give to you. In fact, he says more than that. He says also, look to the east, the north, the south, the west, and the east. All of this I'm going to give to you. God honors those who fear him and who listen and pay attention to the wisdom that he seeks to give. Wisdom from God can give us security from perverse influences. Let's look at the second part of this section in chapter 2, verses 16 to 22. Where am I spot again here? One second. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 16. To deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God, for her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep the paths of righteousness, for the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. Solomon frequently reminds us about the temptation of immorality. And here he reminds us that we can be secure from this by following and embracing the wisdom of God. Godly wisdom can deliver us from the seductress who flatters with their words. So we find that immorality like this was prominent and prevalent in Solomon's day. It was prominent and prevalent through the ages of history and is very prominent and prevalent today in our internet age. How many men and women have fallen to the temptations of lust and immorality in its various forms? We need godly wisdom, and godly wisdom can keep us from falling in this area. Perhaps the best example I can think of from this would be Joseph. Remember his experience. Sometimes, you know, godly wisdom comes to us by reflection. When we think about things for a while, we're confronted with a situation, we take time to consider and we look to God's word and we pray about things. Other times we need to exercise godly wisdom quickly and we need to act immediately. And as we come to understand God's word, as we come to live a life where fearing the Lord is prominent and prevalent in our life, when we are confronted with situations such as Joseph was confronted with at a moment, he could act quickly and he could respond properly because he had come to understand the wisdom of God. Joseph's response when confronted by Potiphar's wife on that occasion in Genesis 39 was this: how can then I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He had the fear of God in his life, and as a result, he was able to act wisely. We might say, well, it didn't work out very well for him. He was ended up in prison. But ultimately, we can see that God had a great plan in mind, and this was the unfolding of God's will. He immediately fled from that situation, exercising the wisdom that God had given him to get out of the temptation that he was faced with at that moment. And as a result, God honored him. He found security from immorality. One more passage that we've been asked to think about tonight is chapter 3. Let's read just a few verses from chapter 3, verse 21. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Sound wisdom and discretion. That's what you're not to let depart from your eyes. So they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of the trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. The Lord will be your confidence. We can live lives, if we would heed God's wisdom, if we would fear the Lord and embrace the wisdom that God seeks to provide, we could go confidently through life with sleep coming to our eyes and to our mind when we lay down at night, not having our mind filled with anxieties and troubles and worries about the affairs of life. Our sleep would be sweet. We could move forward not being afraid of the things that come our way. Why is that so? Because there's nothing dangerous that we're going to be confronted with? No, it's not that. It's that we would move forward knowing that God goes with us, that God is present with us. What can man do to me? God is with us, and we can be emboldened to face what would otherwise be daunting challenges, knowing that the Spirit of God is within, and God directs, and God will give us wisdom as we face these daunting challenges. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego find themselves before Nebuchadnezzar, a very intimidating situation for anyone. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go forward confidently because they honored God. They honored God, and they knew that God would deliver them. They acted with godly wisdom, standing up and making a choice to stand up for God, even in the face of a powerful king. Our God, whom we serve, will deliver us from your hand, O King. He goes on to say, even if he does not deliver us, we will not bow down before you. They moved forward, secure from trepidation, because they had embraced the wisdom that God provides. And so we can rejoice tonight that God chooses to give us wisdom. We can seek in our lives to fear God and not man, and understand that as we do so, he will empower our lives with the wisdom, a wonderful tool that he gives to us. Wisdom. These are just four of many that we could consider. Four ways in which wisdom gives us security in our lives. Secure from disgrace. Secure from perverse influences. Secure from immorality. Security from trepidation. These are the blessings and benefits of God as he seeks to protect us through the distribution into our hearts and pouring out of wisdom to us as he seeks to do. So let's embrace this study of the Psalms and seek to glean all the wisdom that we can from them. It will be a great help to us in these ways. And we'll just stop there. Lord, we thank you for this book and for its richness, and we pray that you would help us to retain much from this wonderful book, the wonderful teaching that you have in it for us, so that our lives might be guided by your wise counsel, that we might find security in our life and in our walk as we do so. Be with us as we continue the time of prayer tonight. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.